Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Taves, joined again by Dr. Storsbach. And today, I think we have a pivotal podcast for you, a topic that I think will be very, very helpful. As always, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything you do. Now, if you are just tuning in to our podcast, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've just listened to a few podcasts and you're coming into it and you're thinking, okay, so he calls himself the headache doctor and talks a lot about headaches and migraines. So this must be a neurologist. He's going to talk about maybe chemical imbalances or the different pathways that are involved in the pain, maybe hormones, maybe the medication that works and chemically how it works. And it's going to be great because I'm going to understand my medication or the next medication that's going to be the best thing for me. Well, that is actually not our purpose and that's not our goal. And we're going to break that down today and explain why. Because that's, I'll call it the allopathic or the Western medicine model, is very much focused on symptom management. So what this podcast is designed to do is give you an alternative, an alternative way of thinking, and an explanation for the source. So the source of the symptoms that together lead to the diagnosis of a migraine. So we've had a few reviews on Apple Podcast, which are a little bit entertaining for us, but it's essentially like, oh, he's a physical therapist. Yeah. So we are physical therapists and very proud of that. And we believe that physical therapy and how we're trained in restoring the function of the body is a key element, if not the key element, to understanding and unlocking headaches and migraines. So not ashamed of that, not trying to hide that. Really, if I said a physical therapy podcast, I don't know how many people with headaches and migraines would listen in. And so call myself the headache doctor because I believe as a physical therapist, restoring function to these systems in the body, I'm trained and Dr. Storsbach is trained to do that. And so, yeah, not ashamed of that. We're physical therapists. And then we also talk about the neck a lot. And if you haven't listened to one of the first podcasts or the podcast where we title it the most overlooked cause of headaches and migraines, we talk a lot about the neck, and because the neck plays a pivotal role in these symptoms. So again, if you're tuning in for the first time, expect those two things. I'm a physical therapist. I'm not a neurologist. That's a very good thing. So you want to listen in. You want to hear this perspective, especially if you're weary and tired of the Western medicine model of symptom management, medication, and you feel like they're not getting to the source of what's happening. That's who we're looking for. Now, if you're someone who enjoys taking your medication and it works well, and I'm not shaming you for that. Occasionally we find people that they're content. They take their meds, they're good. That's fine. Now, if you take your meds and they help, but you want to find the next step, then we're for you. If you take your meds and they don't work, or maybe you just are anti-medication, so you don't take it at all and you've been suffering through, we have a lot of patients in that category, this is especially for you. And so that's what our podcast is designed to do. And we're not trying to hide that. We're not trying to trick people. We just really firmly believe that we're onto something. So that's the context of today's podcast. What we're going to do is run through all of the allopathic explanations, the Western medicine model explanations for why you get migraines. And so we'll start off with what historically was thought to be a vascular issue. And let's go a little bit into that, Dr. Storsbach. I'll stop talking and let you chime in here. But vascular, what's going on there?
Yeah, so like you said, this is kind of the most original thought, and it's still out there today where a lot of people think that maybe because they have this throbbing sensation in their head and it's kind of this pulsing, they'll immediately think it could be an artery or vein, which is what vascular means. And, you know, there's medications out there, beta blockers, specifically propranolol is prescribed quite a lot. And they can help some people. And what that does is definitely lowers your blood pressure, you know, beta blockers, possibly reduce like your excitability of your nervous system. And so of course, when they help or they work, sometimes people then kind of double down and go, well, this must be a vascular issue.
Yeah, it really goes back to the throbbing sensation. So if you just think about one of the key symptoms of migraines, it's that pounding, one-sided, debilitating pain. And so intuitively, you think, well, this must be, it's almost like you're feeling your heartbeat. And you think, okay, well, that's like an artery or a vein or there's something where blood or the blood vessel is sensitive, and that must be the problem. Yeah, and like you said, especially that beta blockers help because they're traditionally a blood pressure, kind of a cardiac drug. It like reduces the stress on your cardiovascular system. We've talked about it before of this autonomic nervous system and the balance between the sympathetic and parasympathetic, and there's an impact on that. So with propranolol, again, it can kind of reduce the excitability of the nervous system and have its impact on the heart. So as that sympathetic nervous system ramps up, propranolol, in a sense, has an impact on that. It'll reduce your heart rate, blood pressure, that sort of thing. And so it takes some stress off the heart, but also has an impact on just the body in general, which all medications do. They're not just specific to one specific area. And so the environment that this pain is distributed in is kind of calmed down. And propranolol is something that's taken daily as a preventative. And so it does make sense that this would help because it's the environment that your brain is receiving the pain signal in is, I guess, in some sense, it's better equipped to handle pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel like that's fair?
Yeah, because, you know, pain kind of can stimulate that fight or flight response. You know, it'll increase your heart rate. And so this does the opposite effect. So like you said, it just kind of alters the environment enough so maybe you can tolerate the pain signals better.
Yeah. So that's, historically, that was kind of the original thought. So I'll use the term old school, maybe loosely, but it's an older thought that it's a vascular problem. But propranolol is still very much used. They've just sort of gotten away from that being the explanation. Which, by the way, I wanted to say initially that they're really, the theme you'll see here is there's not an answer. Like there, within these major institutions, the Mayo Clinic, where I went to school, Johns Hopkins, big publications, there's not a definitive answer. And so they don't give you a cause. Even so, these leading migraine websites, the title of the article will be like cause of migraines. And then they'll basically just list off different triggers and how those different triggers impact what you're feeling. But those are not causes. And so what's overwhelmingly thought of or sort of used as an explanation, I don't know if it's like intentionally deceptive or what, but it might be if they're saying causes and then just listing triggers. But it's known that those triggers shouldn't be seen as the causes. They're just impacting your body. And that's common. I'm not making that up. I mean, even the Mayo Clinic on their website says, we don't know what exactly is causing this, but here are the things that impact it. So it's important to understand that those triggers are not causing your symptoms and that there's no good explanation for what is causing it. And so that first thought, blood pressure, is where this kind of started historically. And then from there, we see things pop up, like maybe it's a more modern line of thinking is more chemical or environmental, or this the trigeminal nerve pathway. So the Mayo Clinic actually says, though migraine causes aren't fully understood, genetics and environmental factors appear to play a role. Changes in the brainstem and its interactions with the trigeminal nerve, a major pain pathway, might be involved. We've talked about the trigeminal nerve before. We'll go into that in just a second. So, and then it says, so might be imbalances in brain chemicals, including serotonin, which helps regulate pain in your nervous system. So let's talk about the trigeminal pathway, serotonin. Let's kind of make sense of that, why they would assume that that was a cause.
Yeah, well, there's other drugs called triptans that kind of act like serotonin, and they help. They're also commonly prescribed. They also act to inhibit the CGRP pathway. There's also new CGRP-specific drugs out there. And all of this, like you said, is just it regulates this pain pathway. But if you kind of step back again, it's like, why does that pain pathway have to be regulated? It's like they only go one step and then they stop. But really, we need to think like, well, if we have to regulate the pain, what caused the pain in the first place? And no one seems to get that step further.
Yeah. So talk through the trigeminal nerve and why the trigeminal nerve would be thought of as like connected to migraines.
Just simply its pathway and where it's located in your head and face. So it's called trigeminal. It has three branches. It branches up through the forehead, above the eyebrow, kind of below the eye into the sinus area, and then down into the jaw. And commonly, people with headaches and migraines have pain in this area. And so now they're saying, which is at least on Mayo, they're talking about the trigeminal nerve. That's good, because that is what's signaling this pain all the way into the head and face. But then again, you have to kind of step back and go, well, where do they, you know, why is the trigeminal nerve irritated? And if you actually look at the neuroanatomy, the trigeminal nerve, it basically stems from the upper neck. And there's a full nerve connection pathway from the upper three vertebrae or spinal nerves, C1 through 3. They exit, they conform together into the brainstem, and then they branch out into this trigeminal nerve. So there's actually like a physical neuroanatomy that connects these pathways, and we're trying to peel back that layer and check people's upper necks out. If those nerves are being maybe inhibited from all the stress and tension because your neck's not moving properly, then it's sending that signal all the way out into the trigeminal nerve.
Yeah. So the Mayo Clinic on their site, what I quoted them here saying, it says changes in the brainstem and its interactions with the trigeminal nerve, a major pathway might be involved. Okay. So going back to people that don't, well, a few of the reviews that we've had, and over, like, this is something that we hear over and over again, like, what we're doing is new. Why hasn't this been done before? And almost as if there's, I guess I want to say, some skepticism behind the why behind what we're doing or if it's going to work. Well, here we have the Mayo Clinic agreeing with what we're saying, agreeing with our podcast. And what I'm saying here is that we are 100% in agreement that the trigeminal nerve is a major pain pathway that's involved. And that's what they're agreeing to here. It changes in brainstem and its interactions with the trigeminal nerve. So when we understand pain, we understand that the trigeminal nerve and this nucleus, so the pain sent through one of these branches that Dr. Storzbach talked about into the brainstem, and that same nucleus collects information from the upper part of the neck. And then we don't realize what's happening until it then goes from the brainstem and sends that signal to our brain. And then our brain interprets what's happening, and it's interpreting potentially the location of the pain differently and the pain itself, meaning the sensation differently, oftentimes. And so that's where that facial pain, the eye pain, the temple pain, the throbbing sensation, actually the trigeminal nerve has interaction with, or it picks up sensation from some of the blood vessels in the head. So if that's sensitized, then that could be sensitive to that throbbing, that pounding sensation, which would explain that. And without going into too much detail, the trigeminal nerve is the key to this. And as Dr. Storzbach was saying, it's just that instead of finding that explanation of why is there pain being sent through the trigeminal nerve, they just sort of stop and say, well, let's interact with the CGRP, which is this like peptide or this little protein that basically is responsible for sending the pain signal, which when we look at pharmaceuticals, that can be effective. And I think it's a good thing to have these tools because we need different ways to manage pain, but we also need to look at why that pain signal sent in the first place, which if you take that to its logical conclusion, is going to be coming from the musculoskeletal system, meaning the neck. The neck is most likely to be sending this pain through that trigeminal nerve, the nucleus, and then either sensitizing or just having the brain interpret it as coming from the head and the face. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense. It's a little bit confusing. But what the takeaway here is that talking about the neck is the logical conclusion with even the Western medicine model. Mm-hmm. And as physical therapists, we're trained to understand that. And that's why we're uniquely leaning into this space, because it's like, hey, this is what we do. We restore how the body functions, which reduces pain levels. Okay, so that's the trigeminal nerve. That's probably the biggest one that the Western medicine model is leaning into, because these new CGRP drugs and their interaction with that trigeminal nerve system in transmitting pain. And those are the AJOVE, Emgality, the big ones that, you know, you see on the commercials that you either take them once a month or as needed. Mm-hmm. And so those are very popular nowadays. But again, it sort of supports this idea that the neck is involved, or at least the musculoskeletal system is the underlying cause. So let's talk about maybe some environmental factors like pressure changes, altitude.
Yeah, and this is I would put this in the list of triggers, again, not the cause. But absolutely, there's a lot of people that will come in and go, the weather changed quickly and I could feel it and it triggered my headache. And that's absolutely a possibility. When barometric pressure changes in the atmosphere, that has an effect on our body and even specifically more the joints in our system. So how joints come together, they have a little capsule surrounding them, and it kind of has a certain amount of pressure inside the capsule and then outside the capsule. Sometimes when pressure changes really quickly and say that joint just isn't quite as healthy as it should be or not moving quite as well, it might be more sensitized to those pressure changes and then kind of, again, send those pain signals out. So that's definitely a possibility. A lot of people will say when they go up into altitude, they'll feel their head start to feel pressurized or, you know, get their headache. That can be several. That could be an oxygen level issue, a dehydration issue. Those things, again, it was never the cause of your pain, because a lot of people can go to altitude and not have a headache. But some people who do, who have this neck issue, it will trigger them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then genetics, we have a whole podcast on this. But yeah, what did we discover when in our research about genetics?
I mean, the most common one that they thought maybe could be somewhat correlated to genetics or passed down from a parent is kind of more the migraine with aura, but that still was not really conclusive at all. And that's just what we see at the clinic here too. I mean, I don't see really almost any correlation with genetics with my patients. And, you know, as you and I have discussed, it probably is more likely your parents' posture you may be inherited, and that maybe set you up more for this neck issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you inherit your parents' anatomy. That's a tough word for us, huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's a hard one.
So what we want people to understand is that we are taking what the researchers and the medical doctors are finding, and we're continuing to ask the question, but why? You know, it's like the toddler who just is curious about everything, and they keep asking, but why? That's essentially what we're doing in our training. Is such that we just happen to have a very reasonable explanation. And so it's not as if we're ignoring certain elements of like research or you can think we're going against this allopathic model because we're not focusing on symptom management, but instead addressing a very common and likely source of pain that then answers the but why answer. Answers the question to the but why of these different things we've talked about. So vascular, but why? We talked about how as that pain signal sent through the trigeminal nerve, that throbbing sensation, as if the trigeminal nerve is sensitized, you can get that throbbing sensation. And then propranolol reducing or making for a better environment for your brain to receive that pain signal. So it doesn't answer where the pain signal is coming from. It just improves your experience with it. And then the trigeminal nerve, we talked about that. So they'll stop at just the trigeminal nerve seems to be involved, and they'll stop thinking like that's chemical or there's serotonin involved. But that still doesn't answer the question of like, why is it happening? Like, why would your serotonin levels be off, or why would there be a chemical imbalance? And it's just the but why, it seems very simple to us. Like, it's not a stretch of the imagination to say that the pain's coming from your neck and impacting all these systems. And then why environmental? It's okay, pressure changes impact it, and they stop. When really it's a logical conclusion to say that those joints are inflamed and irritated. We see that with knee arthritis or knee replacements, and that is very easy to understand. Why not in the neck? And then genetics as well. I mean, there may be a genetic component, and so they ask geneticists to find, you know, the specific gene, rather than just like looking at mom and dad and their posture and their habits and their lifestyle and just thinking like, well, their son or their daughter is the same thing. Like that to us just seems very a logical conclusion. And then, with the CGRP inhibitors, again, they're impacting part of the pain pathway, but then it's, but why? But why is there pain? Why is there a need for this pain signal to be sent in the first place rather than just shutting it off and saying, well, that's it. You don't get an explanation past that. And overwhelmingly, that's what we hear from patients is they don't feel like they're being listened to. They don't feel like an answer is being provided. They're just being basically prescribed another medication to mask their symptoms. Mm-hmm. So we're very passionate about this, and we're not ashamed of it at all. And so this is like, we get super excited. I was telling Dr. Storsbach before this podcast that, like, you know, the more we look into this and the more we understand, the more patients we treat, the more affirming it is of like, man, we're onto something. Like, we need to keep doing this, even if culture or I guess I'll say like big pharma or our Western medicine model doesn't necessarily like this. Because whether there's a lot of money in medication or it's easy to take a pill, whatever it is, I mean, we feel like we're selling crockpots instead of microwaves, but it's work worth doing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Any other thoughts?
No, I think that's good. I guess my last thought is I have some patients who actually become frustrated initially when it starts to work, because they've done so much and been told so much and never gotten an answer. And then when I work on their neck just a few times and they go, oh my gosh, my symptoms are like so much better, they almost get angry for a little bit, which, because it almost seems too simple. And I think that's the other skeptical part of this, is people will come in and go, well, if it was just my neck, someone else would have figured it out, right? And unfortunately, that's just not happening. And that's why we're here.
So we've got big problems that we're trying to fix. But we're very passionate about it. And we think over time with your guys' help. Now, if you like what we're doing and you want to see it improve and grow, please go on Apple Podcast and give us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate that. Because we're on a mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything you do. Thanks for listening.